The Blueprint for a Vision. On May 25, 1961, then-President John F. Kennedy stood before a special session of the United States Congress to make an announcement that would forever change the destiny of America and the course of human history. With the 31 words that follow, the world shifted. Quote, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth." End of quote. With this statement, Kennedy set into motion the massive effort of coordinating the technology, corporations, research, and the funding that would be needed to accomplish his goal. Only the building of the Panama Canal during peacetime and the super-secret Manhattan Project in wartime could compare to the depth and scope of Kennedy's mandate to go to the moon. In what is arguably one of the most impressive displays of military and civilian cooperation ever achieved, Kennedy's vision became a reality. It happened precisely as he had stated, and in less time than he had imagined. In the 8 years between Kennedy's speech and humankind's first step on the moon, the plans were created, propulsion systems were developed, the bugs were worked out, and the space capsule that would carry precious human life went from the drafting tables to the launch pad. On July 16, 1969, the massive Saturn V rocket, measuring 363 feet long and weighing 6.5 million pounds, left the launch pad at Cape Kennedy, carrying three men to the moon. And 5 days later, astronaut Neil Armstrong announced the landing with the now immortal words, quote, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," end of quote. When people hear about this astonishing feat, one of the first questions they ask typically is, how could it have happened so quickly? How could the materials have been created, the technology developed, and the systems completed in less than 10 years? The answer to this question is the reason I'm sharing the story here. The success of the mission and the timing were possible because two key factors came together in just the right way. First, the big pieces of the technology were already in place. While the integration of so many systems and components was a monumental task unto itself, in large part, the theories, the materials, and the communications already existed. That's why the second factor was so important. While much of the technology was already available, no one in a high position of authority had ever made it a focus to bring them together. When the leader of the most technologically advanced nation on Earth did so through his speech, his words were a mandate and gave the scientists and administrators permission to do so. Giving them a mandate opened the floodgates of innovation and resources for the exploration of space and even more. In other words, Kennedy made our journey to the moon a priority. We find ourselves in a similar situation today. Rather than sending humans to the moon, however, our mission pertains to what's happening right here on Earth. Just as the technology was available in the 1960s for space travel, today we already have the knowledge and the means to alleviate the human suffering that's become the hallmark of our time of extremes. For example, we already have the ability to feed every mouth of every man, every woman, every child living in the world. It's a fact that the agriculture of the world produces 17% more calories today than it did 30 years ago. Enough for at least 2,720 kilocalories per person per day. It's a fact that malnutrition and hunger are not caused by the scarcity of food. Rather, they're the result of poverty, harmful economic systems, conflict, and, to a lesser but growing degree, the drought, floods, and unpredictable weather patterns resulting from climate change. It's a fact that we already have affordable, clean, and sustainable forms of energy that can be made available to every household that needs them. The global shift to such energy appears, however, to be emerging in gradual stages rather than instantaneously. it's a fact, that the first stage of the world's energy changeover is occurring through the use of liquefied natural gas, or LNG, which burns cleaner, produces 50% less carbon dioxide, and is more affordable than conventional coal and oil. While it's not the ultimate solution to satisfying our growing need for energy, it shows a positive shift in thinking, and it's a step in the right direction. It is a fact that the technology that makes additional forms of alternative energy viable is slowly and steadily improving. This includes solar, geothermal, and wind power technology that can locally supplement conventional power sources as well as create local resilience to regional energy problems. And it is a fact that sources of energy that appear exotic by today's standards are gradually being implemented to replace fossil fuels altogether. These sources add to a mix of clean and sustainable alternatives that can provide for the needs of our growing population. We already know how to reduce the abject poverty of the world that has been the source of so much scarcity and suffering. It is a fact that the United Nations Millennium Development Goal to reduce the world's most extreme poverty of those living on $1.25 per day is working. The original goal to cut in half the number of people living in such poverty between 1990 and the year 2015 was actually met in 2010, 5 years ahead of schedule. This tells us that 1, real change is achievable, and 2, it lays the foundation for a push toward an even greater effort. It's obvious from facts such as these that the elements for big solutions do already exist. As of this writing, what's lacking is the kind of vision that President Kennedy provided in 1961, the shift in thinking that makes such goals a priority. No shortage of solutions. The examples in the previous section tell us that meaningful change is achievable and doesn't have to take generations to show up in our lives. The UN had the resources and the motivation to bring about a meaningful reduction in poverty for the world in less than 20 years, for instance. So while we know that such change is possible, no one has, as yet, made it a priority to mobilize the vast resources at our disposal and implement similar changes on a grand planetary scale. In the event that such a visionary declaration was made, the existing solutions could quickly bring an end to the many and diverse forms of suffering in our families and our communities. In the absence of such a declaration, however, we find ourselves bearing witness to a world where the solutions that could bring hope remain hidden in the time that they are needed the most. It's not unusual for an audience to gasp in awe when I say that the big problems of the world are already solved. That is, the problems that technology can solve. Just as the technology for our successful mission to the moon already existed when Kennedy made his speech, the solutions to the big problems in our lives, such as social change, creating sustainable communities and cities, and more, already exist. Although a number of visionary leaders and thinkers have created organizations and written excellent books to demonstrate what's possible in our lifetimes, it's beyond the scope of this audio program to do justice to them all. For this reason, I've chosen a few examples from different fields that illustrate how much effort has already been directed toward the kind of change I'm talking about. We don't need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to knowing where to begin. Other people have already done so, and some have devoted their entire lives to doing the legwork so that we don't have to. So while I'm not suggesting that any of the following is the only plan of its kind, I'd like you to see the depth and quality of the solutions that are already available to us, the plans that have been formulated, and the implementation that has been drafted. The ball is rolling. Now the question is, what are we waiting for?